praise. I appreciate that. Good song tonight. Enjoyed it. All right, we're in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, two Thursdays ago in College Chapel. It was my week to preach. And so we had all seven of the girls at the college from our church were the special music. They all stood up there and sang The Criminal on the Cross. It was an excellent song, and they did well. And I think they sang it a cappella. Didn't y'all sing it a cappella? And I'm hoping it may be the first time they're all here together some weekend they can do that for us, because it was well done and thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a blessing to me anyway. And it was good to see those young ladies all singing like that, as it was a blessing tonight with these ladies. Good. Matthew chapter 6, if you found your place, let's stand together in honor of God's word if you're able. And I'm just going to read from three verses, all right? Starting in verse 25, 6:25. Therefore, I say unto you, Jesus talking now, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Look at verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Said this morning, I want to speak tonight on Jesus' cure for worry. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege to be in church. Thank you for your everlasting, eternal word. Thank you for the truth that it is. And I pray this truth tonight will help us in this room. And Lord, maybe some heart that specifically needs it tonight as you've ordained this message. Please help us, fill us with your spirit. Both speaker and listener, give us a hunger and a thirst to know the book, to know your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. If you listen to people talk these days, it is obvious that many are not watching the news anymore. And it's not that people don't know what is going on in our country and around the world. They do. But two truths drive the decision not to watch the news on a consistent basis. One, many of the news organizations cannot be trusted to report the truth. We talked about that this morning. You can't trust them. Two, at this point in time, the news is pretty discouraging. It really is. And most people know that what the major news items are, just not all the details. We know that Congress is battling over Biden's Build Back Better program, which seems to be a recipe for disaster. President Biden is a disaster, and he doesn't need a recipe for that. He just is. Then there are the midterm elections, just a little over a year away now. And, of course, you know, the conservatives have high hopes that they'll retake the House and retake the Senate. Of course, the voting mess is not resolved. And so, you know, and then there is the issue of the economy and the supply chain issue and inflation. And when Biden said, you know, he got about this supply chain, and he got, you know, we're going to unload 19,000 containers. And many people, oh, man, until those who know anything about cargo ships, those cargo ships hold between 18 and 24,000 containers each. So if you unload 19,000 containers, you're getting one cargo ship unloaded. Cherith and Isaiah flew. They were their last meeting before they leave for the field, before they leave for language school at the end of December, was at North Valley this past week. Their missions conference, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And so they flew into San Francisco, and the plane went out over the San Francisco Bay. The airport's right there, if you've ever been there. And you fly out over the bay when you land. And she sat down and looked out the window, and you could just see cargo ship after cargo ship after cargo ship sitting there. Now, you start doing the math on that, folks. That's one port. And you wonder why we're in the mess we're in right now. Look, the old economic law of supply and demand still works today. It'll be hard to beat that. And so, you know, I read the other day where inflation is now costing the average American family an extra $175 per month. That's what they said. Now, I don't know what goes into the figures for the average American family. I do know that my wife says prices have gone up at the stores. That's what she says when she comes back from shopping and says at the same time, I need more money. Okay, but anyway, so the outlook for the immediate future and even for the distant future is not that encouraging. So I don't know that this is necessary tonight, but it brings me to this message to try to remind you, to help to encourage everyone to think and act biblically as we move ahead through these difficult days. Now, for sure, we're not the first generation of people to face difficult economic times. We are, don't get me offended by this, but we probably are the most spoiled generation when it comes to getting just about everything that we want. That's the truth. Now, there are some things that, are off limits financially because you just can't feasibly do it, and that's prudent financial business. But the average American in this economy, in this world today, at this time, just about anything that we really want, we get. Okay? So we're probably the most spoiled. We're probably the most spoiled generation. And it may not take too much economic difficulty to throw some people today in this spoiled generation into depression and fear. And we don't need to go there. And that's why I'm preaching this message tonight. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what's going to happen down the road. But just casual observation says this thing's probably not going to be over next week. All right? And I don't go in many stores on purpose. It's called Amazon.com. Amen? That's what it is. But I don't go in many stores. But the couple stores that I've been in lately haven't been, the shelves haven't been empty. But they are emptier than I remember seeing them before. And I'm not talking about just grocery stores. Farm and Fleet type stores, okay? So that means that we are going to have to guard against complaining. We're going to have to guard against murmuring. We're going to have to guard against pouting. And for many people, the most prevalent temptation that has to be guarded against is worrying. Worrying, okay? And I'm talking tonight especially to young adults and young people, your teenagers, but even the rest of us as well. Now, the word worry and any of its other forms are not found in the Bible. You won't find it. Worry, worried, worrying, worrisome. You don't know you find. The word that carries a similar meaning in the Bible to the word, our word worry, is the word careful. And it's used in a couple of different places. You remember this in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, at Lazarus, Martha and Mary's house. And Martha is there. She's serving and she's flustered because Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she says, Lord, why don't you tell her to get up and help me? And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, Paul told the church at Philippi, be careful for nothing. Now, the definition of the word careful, listen carefully, is to be anxious about, to be full of care, to take thought. Now, if you paid attention to the scriptures that we read tonight, we read where three times Jesus said, take thought. No thought. Now listen again to the definition of the word careful. To be anxious about, full of care, to take thought. So in our vernacular today, the word worry is a good synonym for the word careful in the Word of God. Martha, Martha, thou art worried and troubled about many things. Paul says, be worried for nothing. And so that brings me tonight to the text in Matthew chapter 6. What Jesus taught, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Sermon on the Mount, right? The most famous sermon ever preached. And what he taught in this part of the Sermon on the Mount is very appropriate for the time in which we are living. And in verses 25 through 34, Jesus used the word thought six times. 6 times. We only read 3 times. This used 3 other times in here. Each time he uses it in the context of being anxious, of being full of care, or worrying. Look at verse number 25. You know, Jesus begins this section of the Sermon on the Mount with the word therefore. That means we have to look back and notice what he said previously so we can understand why therefore is therefore, right? Okay, we're not going to look at it, but in verses 19 through 24, let me just sum it up. Jesus warns his followers about placing too high a priority on money. Money may make life a little easier, but money will not produce happiness. Cannot. And true joy. Can't do it. So he said, be careful about placing too high a priority on it. Then he warns them about laying up treasure on earth as opposed to laying up treasure in heaven. He said, be careful. You put all your eggs in the basket of treasure on earth, and moth does corrupt and rust, and thieves break in and steal. And I don't know what's going on. I was the other day flipping through FoxNews.com, and they got video of these guys up here in Chicago going into stores in broad daylight and loading up bags just while people are in there shopping. They're just loading up bags and running out with it. Where the police? In the middle of the day, 2:30 in the afternoon, people are in there shopping. This guy's got his phone out. This is insane. This is crazy. And these guys are throwing all these $1,000 purses in the bag and running out with it. Nobody stops them. We're third world, folks. That's third world stuff. It's crazy. Absolute nuts. And Jesus said, so you better not put all the eggs of your treasure in the basket of this earth, because moth corrupts and thieves do break through and steal and rust. You better make sure that you lay up some treasure in heaven where there are no moths and there is no rust and there are no thieves. That's what he said, okay? Then he said, he told them to keep a single eye focused on eternal things. And then he plainly tells them in verse 24 that it is impossible to serve God and mammon, money, material things. It's impossible. You can't serve both. It's one or the other. So he's speaking this, but Jesus knows the crowd to whom he is speaking. And many of these people at this particular time, in this particular place, were living day to day, struggling, many of them, just to provide for their families. And Jesus encourages them with some truths that eliminate the temptation to worry. Before I show you those three simple truths, won't take me long. Let me point out what Jesus did not say. We read 3 times where Jesus said, take no thought. So Jesus did not mean we should never plan, we should never consider, or even think about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. There are too many other scriptures that tell us it's not wrong to be prudent and plan for the future. And I wonder if you've ever had a meal where you thought, this person took that scripture, take no thought, took it to heart. Amen. And I mean, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean, you know, the child said, Mom, what are we going to have for supper? Well, I don't know. Well, Mom, we're going to eat in 15 minutes. Yeah, but Jesus said, take no thought. So whatever's there is there. I mean, that doesn't even make sense, folks. That's not common sense. He didn't mean, don't ever, look, Proverbs 31. Think with me. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, what did she do? She was careful when it came to food and clothes and other necessary items for her household. She's exalted because she took care for those things. And she does such a good job with it. Her husband trusts her, and all her children rise up and call her what? Blessed. In 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul said, those who do not provide for their own are akin to infidels. Now, if you take no thought, don't ever think about what you're going to eat. Don't ever think about what you're going to wear. Don't ever think about where you're going. Don't ever think about what's going to happen. Take no thought. Wait a minute. How are you going to take no thought and yet make sure that you plan for your own so you're not an infidel? 2 Corinthians 12:14, Paul said, parents, ought to lay up for the children. Now you think about all those verses, and there's more. That's just the tip of the iceberg. People, when Jesus said, take no thought, now think, roll your minds, I know you are. It means do not be anxious or full of care. Remember the definition. The definition of careful, to be anxious about, full of care, to take thought. So what Jesus is saying here was he's saying, take no thought. What he's really saying is like you and me saying, don't worry about it. He's not saying don't ever think about it. He's not ever saying don't make plans. He's not saying don't give any thought or consideration to your future. That's not what he's saying. He's saying don't worry about it. Consider it. Plan for it, prepare, but do not allow your consideration, your preparation, your care to become full-blown worry. Look, it is medically proven that worry and anxiety create stress and panic and all other kinds of emotions. Now watch this, that are not physically healthy. First of all, and I'll tell you what else they aren't. They're spiritually distracting. When you get all worried about things here, you get single focused on earth. And you forget about your heavenly home. And you forget about serving God. So Jesus did not, and I like what, you know, Jesus didn't say, hey, stop worrying. He didn't say that. He gave truths as to why we should not worry or be anxious. We can plan. We can prepare. We can be ready. We can give some consideration. We can even give some thought, but just don't be filled with worry. That's what he's saying in this verse. Don't worry about it. And then he gives us the cure for worry. First of all, number one, here's the three cures in this passage. Number one, don't worry because of the natural occurrences of life. Don't worry because of the natural occurrences of life. Look with me at verse number 26, okay? So he tells them in verse 25, take no thought for your life, eat, drink, your clothes, okay? Behold, here's his cure. The fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Don't worry because of the natural occurrences of life. Now, I'm going to say something here, and don't crucify me until you hear me come all the way through. God does not feed the birds by some miraculous process. Now, stop. Look, the birds don't plant crops. The birds don't reap crops. They don't store crops in the barn. But God feeds them through the natural occurrences of life. Seeds, insects, you and me. We grab something to eat on the road because we're in a hurry, and we get about 3/4 or 95% of the way done with it. And what do? I don't mean the trash. I mean the food. Goes out the window. Maybe you don't do that. Okay, I live in the country, all right? Don't throw trash around, but I throw banana peels out because they're biodegradable, amen? And I'm trying to protect Mother Earth, amen? So trying to help here. So, but some guy's off to work, you know, and he's running a few minutes late, so he grabs a cup of coffee, throws his coat over his arm, you know, got his briefcase or whatever he needs for work, and he's eating on a piece of toast. And as he's on the way to the car eating a piece of toast, crumbs are falling on the ground. Some bird's sitting up there with a watchful eye. As soon as he gets in that car, whoosh. That's how God feeds the birds. You call that a miracle? I call it a miracle when I don't put crumbs on the floor. Amen. That's not miraculous. That's the natural processes, the natural occurrences of life. Plants grow. They produce seeds. And the birds eat. Worms crawl out of the ground. Bugs, insects settle on a limb. And the birds enjoy breakfast, lunch, and supper. Don't crucify me. God has not done anything miraculous except for the fact that he has provided for them by the natural processes and occurrences of life. And guess what? You and I are more important to God than birds. I'm thankful for that. We're more important to God than birds. And He provides for us by the natural processes of life. What do you mean? Well, we have opportunities in life that are used to provide the means for us to eat, drink, and be clothed. What are these natural occurrences? What are these natural processes? Well, normally there's jobs to work. God created work. He created work as a way for man to provide for his needs. It's not a miraculous thing in the sense of, whoa, it's the natural occurrence of life. There are gardens to plant. There are fish to catch. There are animals to hunt. I was going to say kill, but some people get queasy at that, but I won't say it, okay? There are animals. There are materials to purchase for clothing. This is not miraculous. This is the natural occurrences and processes of life. And folks, before you fill your life full of worry over what is going to happen, don't worry, first of all, because of the natural occurrences of life. Well, I don't like fish. You might if you're starving. You might if you're starving. I tell you what's good. You say, well, I'm not a very good fisherman. But anybody can catch a catfish. Anybody can catch a catfish. And that's about the best fish that you can eat. My opinion. That's not Bible. Oh, it's probably in here if I could find it. But it's my favorite. When I was a boy, we ate both squirrel and rabbit. When I was a boy. And this younger generation is going, we ate squirrel and rabbit with gravy. It's good. Tastes just like what? Chicken. Amen. My mother's mother, Meemaw, made a dish called poke salad. She made it out of poke weed. Look it up. It says right on there, poke salad, a southern delicacy. That's what it says. And it's only available in certain times of the year. And if you don't fix it right, it can be toxic. So I'm sure glad Meemaw knew how to fix it. Amen. And I don't remember eating it often, but you mean she went to the woods and dug up greens? Yep. And put it on the table. And if it went on the table at my dad and mom's house, you had to try it. So I've eaten poke salad. I've done it before. We ate scuppernongs. That's a real, I'm not making this up. We ate scuppernongs. What are scuppernongs? They look like little grapes. And again, look it up on the internet. Southern delicacy. We ate muscadines. We went to the woods. And old Meemaw would see that scuppernong vine or muscadine vine in those trees. We just boys would get in there and start picking all those things. She made muscadine jelly. She made scuppernong jelly. Y'all think I'm kidding? You can look it up. It talks about it, all that stuff on there. We ate out of a garden in the summer. People, we are spoiled. And if you need steak and lobster to be happy, you might start worrying. You might just start worrying. But if you are satisfied with common provisions that come from the natural occurrences of life, you're going to be all right. I'm not saying that things won't get really tight and difficult, but there are just some natural occurrences in life that God has built into life. I guess in that sense it is miraculous, but God has built it into life, and he takes care of our food and our drink and our clothing just through the natural processes of life. I will say it. I'll say it again. Moms, you know, one of the best things you can do if you have daughters is teach them how to sew. And if you don't know how to sew, maybe we should give sewing lessons. We give music lessons. Maybe we should give sewing lessons. There are ladies in here who are excellent seamstresses. Excellent seamstresses. And Jeannie DeVries, that's what she does a lot of. And you fellas, ladies, you need some hem work done on what you clothes you wear. She's excellent seamstress. Excellent. Excellent. Fair priced. And by the way, pay her. Don't expect her to do it for nothing. Well, she's a church member. That don't matter. Take advantage of somebody because they're a church member. Where'd I get off on that? I don't know. But did I say it exactly like you wanted me to say it, Jeannie? I'm just forgive me. Oh, man. Seriously, we're so spoiled with just going and buying everything we want. We have missed out on some of the natural occurrences, the natural processes of life that God has given us to get through life. I deer hunt because I enjoy it. It's relaxation for me. It's a break mentally. I like the meat. It's lean. It's organic. It's good stuff. Well, I don't know how to... Well, I don't know what to tell you. But our Father has built into the natural processes of life ways for you and I to have our needs met. So don't worry. Don't worry, okay? Spurgeon told a story about Martin Luther. That Martin Luther, the reformer, remember Joshua lived by faith and he nailed it to the wall. Wrote the 95 Theses and nailed it to the door there. And it kind of was the spark plug for the Reformation. Luther was out one day walking in the fields at a time when he was filled with worry. And he had his Bible in his hand and he was reading the Sermon on the Mount. And he got to this verse. He got to chapter 6, verse number 26. And as he's walking and worrying, he read verse 26. And Spurgeon said, the words of verse number 26 comforted him. And about the time he was reading verse 26, he noticed a little bird hopping from twig to flower to other plants. Just hop. I noticed that looking out. I was going over this, reading it today at the house. Looked out the front window. We have a lilac bush right there by the bay window of the house in the great room. And there's the little twigs that have grown a little taller this fall. And one of those birds comes and rests right on that little twig. How does he balance himself on that thing? Looking at that thinking, my goodness. And I'm thinking about the birds and because of the passage here. And he saw this little bird just jumping from plant to twig to flower, just singing away. And Luther said, as Spurgeon wrote this down, you can read it in his book. Luther said, the bird seemed to sing this statement. Mortals, cease from toil and sorrow. God provideth for the morrow. The bird came to the ground, picked up a crumb, and rose up from the ground, still, you know, happily chirping whatever they do. And Luther said it was like it was repeating its song. Mortals, cease from toil and sorrow. God provideth for the morrow. And Luther had just read where God said, doesn't he feed the birds of the air? And it's not through some miraculous occurrence or process. It's just through the natural occurrences of life. The seeds and the insects and the crumbs fall and here the birds go and they eat. And God has built things into this life that will help meet our needs. Help meet our needs. All right? Now, if you're looking for a handout, you may be in trouble. But if you don't mind getting your hands dirty and working a little bit, maybe a little extra, probably have your needs met. Now, let's move on to the second thing. God is going to provide for us sometimes using the natural occurrences of life, the life which He created. Now, number two, don't worry. And I like this. Because of the supernatural involvement of a Heavenly Father. So you got these natural processes built into life that help provide for our needs. But look at verse number 31. So now He says, therefore, take no thought. There's those words again. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Here it is. For your heavenly Father knoweth. I got all excited about those words this week. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. Here's what's happening, folks. The natural processes of life or occurrences of life will be used to provide for the necessities of mankind. But if there comes a time when those natural processes are diminished and don't provide our needs, oh no, now what? Now what? We have the involvement of a heavenly Father. And our Father is not bound, thank God, by earthly limitations. He sits in the heavens, high and lifted up, which is indicative of His power and His might. There's none like unto our God. None. And He has the ability to do way above and way more than the natural occurrences of life. He has the power to provide through supernatural processes, supernatural occurrences, in order that the needs of His children might be met. And people, here it is. It's not just that He has the power to provide. He knows what we need when we need it. Your heavenly Father know it. You know, when the kids were at home, how many times did my wife come to me? Where's my wife sitting? Is my wife in church tonight? There you are. Okay, all right, good. There. How many times did my wife come to me and say, Terry, Hannah needs. Luke needs. Leah needs. And I'm clueless. Really? Well, yeah, they need. This is what they need. Now, at that particular time, I had the wherewithal to meet that need, but I didn't have a clue that they had a need. Now, my wife knew. I guess she, I don't know. She just paid more attention, was more hands-on, I guess, at that particular time. But I could do it. I had the power to get it, and we did. But I just had no clue. But people, y'all know where I'm going with this. God not only has the wherewithal, He knows. He knows what we need and when we need it. You say, well, should we ask Him for things? Yes, it's right to ask Him. In fact, if you follow the example of the model prayer here in Matthew chapter 5, 6, or 7, wherever it is, in chapter 5, I believe it is, will you follow the example of the model prayer? What are we asking Him for? Give us this day, our daily bread. But let me tell you something. God does not need us to tell Him about a need because He had no idea that it existed. He hadn't given any thought to it. The truth of the matter is, He's already given thought to things that you and I haven't given thought to. And when we stop and just say, God, would you please take care of our daily needs? We're obeying Him as He told us to pray, and God takes care of it. And He does that sometimes through supernatural occurrences. Look, the hurdle that most of us have to overcome, again, is that here, I don't mean to insult, but it's true about it. We really haven't wanted for much. In this time of economic ease. Now, there's a few people sitting here. If you knew Chico Rios' story, there was a family that was in need. How many boys in the family, Chico? Four boys, all slept in the same little bed. In San Diego, Texas. All four boys in the same little bed. They didn't have a lot. And Wayne Irvin, getting on up now in his upper 80s, and they grew up down there, and he probably has some stories about maybe doing without, because you get to that generation. But I'm telling you what, there's very few, very, very few sitting in this room tonight who have ever really hurt or wanted for much in this time of economic ease. We pretty much have had the means to provide for what we need. But that might change. I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. But it doesn't take a whole lot of thinking. How much inflation is already up. And how less our money's worth. I hope I don't embarrass Brian Tarks. I stopped down here Wednesday night after church to fill up the truck. And it was $89. And he said, well, you beat me by $2. Right? And then helped me. He said, I filled up earlier this week, had to fill up both of our vehicles, mine and my wife's. It was $137, $136 to fill up two vehicles. That might change, folks. This time of economic ease might change. So what are you going to do? Take no thought. Doesn't mean plan. Doesn't mean don't plan. Doesn't mean don't prepare. Doesn't mean don't be careful. But don't be filled with worry. Worrying accomplishes nothing. Nothing. And we need to know up front now that God provides both through the natural and supernatural occurrences, through the natural occurrences of life, and then He provides through supernatural means when we need it and can't get it naturally. Look, I make no suggestion that I have ever been poor. I have never been poor. But I do know there are times in my life when I experienced both God's natural and supernatural provision. I experienced it. When I was in Bible college, okay, I experienced the natural provision. You know how I experienced the natural provision? My parents helped me with a little bit of money every month for my bill. They didn't have a ton of money in those days. They still had boys at home. But they put a little bit of money, and that was a help. That was a help. And you know what? These kids off in Bible college, you know, they're studying and they're busting it to work and make money. You know, sometimes they get a job where they can pay their whole school bill. But if they haven't landed a job where they can pay their whole school bill, mom and dad, it's within the realm of right for you to help your child. That's only sensible. Most of our kids paid their way through school. I helped them by paying for the insurance on their cars, the registration. I did that every year. Even for the boys, that was my way of helping a little bit, okay? So I have these needs in Bible college. I'm working a job, and I'm also paying bills, and I'm paying my college bill and tuition and everything, and mom and dad helped a little bit. But there were times when mom and dad couldn't help, like when I needed a job. And I'm walking down the hallway in the college, and I've been asking God for a job. Lord, I need a job. I need a job. I need a job, Lord. I had sold a car, so I had some money up front to help pay for the bulk of the tuition the first semester. But the second semester is on the horizon. I got to go to work. And I've been praying and praying and praying. And if you folks have been in any kind of college, back in those days, I think we had a 10-minute break between classes. The campus was a little bigger, and we had to walk from, you know, one place to the other. And I'm walking down this hallway, going from one class to the other. I'm going this way, students going this way, students going this way. Big mess, big mangled student, you know, traffic. And this guy locks in with my eyes. I don't know who he is. He's slowing down, and he said, hey, you need a job? I said, yes. He handed me a piece of paper. Said, call this guy. Said, Dave at Chanison Corporation over here in South Holland. Well, Dave, South Holland, Illinois. Chanison Corporation. You know all the stuff that you buy over here at AutoZone and O'Reilly's and places like that? It was the warehouse that supplied all that stuff. And we picked orders, okay? So he gives me this thing, and then he walked off. I don't know to this day who it was. No idea. None. Don't laugh. Could have been an angel unawares. I have no idea. I never see the guy again that I can remember. I just know it stopped. Hey, need a job? Here's a little piece of paper. A little scrap of paper. Call Dave at Chanison. Call Dave. I'm a student over at Howes Anderson. I need a job. Yes, sir. Come on in for the interview. Went over there, took the interview, got the job, went to work. Don't you call that? You know what I call it? Supernatural. That's miraculous. That's what I'm talking about. Well, that's never happened to me. Maybe you haven't needed it yet. Maybe so far in life, all your needs have been able to be met by the natural occurrences. You've worked. You've made money. You've learned to eat frugal, be frugal and eat things and prepare menus and make your money stretch. And so the natural occurrences of life have provided your needs. Well, I've never had anything supernatural. Well, hang on. Because the day may come where we all need the supernatural grace and involvement of our Father in heaven to meet the very needs of our life. So don't worry about it. Doesn't say not give any thought to it. It says don't worry about it. I can remember a time, and I can't explain it, folks, but every time an extra expense came up that we hadn't budgeted or planned on, somehow, some way, we had the money to take care of it. This is a true story. And the last one was too. Okay. I'm not lying this time, okay? So when we needed window coverings at our house, we didn't have enough money at that time, enough extra money to buy them. But it was getting bleak. they weren't nice. And during the week, I was back here in that office back here. So this was years ago, back here in the office. And I walked out of my office, left the door open, and I was only gone to the secretary's office for just a moment or two. And when I walked out of my office into their office, back into my office, and here's an envelope under the door with my name and my wife's name on it, Pastor and Mrs. Angel. I wasn't gone out of that office 90 seconds. Had $700 in it. $100 bills. We didn't have security cameras in those days. I have no idea. Somebody in the 90 seconds, I wonder if it was an assistant pastor. We paid too much money back in them. I don't know, man. No. In 90 seconds that I had walked out of that office, somebody evidently had come through the back door here into my office, dropped something on the floor and left before I could get back in 90 seconds. Say, what'd you do with it? It was no... I didn't buy a gun with it, I'll tell you that. Amen. I might have been supernaturally divorced by now. We bought window coverings. So God doesn't care about your window coverings. Don't tell me that. I don't believe that. Oh, he may not get involved if I want to spend thousands of dollars on window coverings. But if I want to go buy a 70, well, I don't know how much window coverings are even to the, oh, they're not cheap anymore. I'll tell you that. We just had to replace a blind. My gracious. Look, God sent it supernaturally through somebody's generosity. Somebody was generous, but I know where it came from. You know where it came from? It came from him. Girls, y'all need to sit down, please. We don't walk around, okay? Go sit down. My mom over there, okay? We don't just get up and walk around. That would be helpful. It was through somebody's generosity, but I know where it came from. It came from our Heavenly Father. You understand what I'm saying? God provides for our needs through the natural processes, occurrences of life. We can work. We can make money. We can grow food. We can catch a fish. We can kill an animal, even if it's a squirrel. God provides all that just through the natural processes of life. But when that doesn't happen, we still don't have to worry. Get an ulcer because we're worried. Now, I know this is easier said than done. And I'm up here preaching to you, and I'm thinking, yeah, Angel, how many times do you worry? You know what Lester Roloff said? Lester Roloff said that worry is a form of infidelity. Not believing in God. He almost nailed it there. Especially for his children. So, God provides through the natural occurrences of life. God provides through his supernatural involvement. Number three, and I'm done. Don't worry because of tomorrow. Look at verse number 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. He didn't say don't think about it, plan for it. He said don't worry about it. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus said not to worry over anticipated troubles because each day has enough of its own to keep us occupied. Taking care of today. Take care of today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Don't borrow don't borrow from the burdens and difficulties of tomorrow. You probably have enough of them today just to care for. Young people, I want to say this to you tonight. Because, you know, there are probably more times I would like to come and preach about where this thing may be going, but I don't want to overload the young people of this church with hopelessness. God's grace is sufficient for today. And when you leave today and start worrying about tomorrow, guess what's not there? God's grace is not there. God's grace is here. So you take care of today. You be the young 15-year-old man that God wants you to be. Well, I don't know what's going to happen when I get to be 25. Don't worry. You're going to have enough to care for when you get to be 25. You got stuff to care for when you're 15. Don't add to it the stuff that you're going to have when you're 25. You're not even there yet. That's what he's saying. You young ladies, 16, take care of what you care for at the age 16. Don't worry about it. Just handle it. Take care of it. And don't run a week ahead. And God's grace is sufficient for today. You know what tomorrow demands? Tomorrow demands tomorrow's grace. And next week demands next week's grace. But you're not going to have next week's grace today. To worry about tomorrow, just keep your eye focused on today. Live for God, serve Him, honor Him, trust Him, obey Him, and have faith that He'll keep His promises. Don't worry. Don't worry. So that's Jesus' cure for worry. He didn't say, don't plan or prepare or give consideration to the future. What He said was, don't be full of worry about it. Don't be full of worry about it. Because our Father is going to care for us through the natural occurrences of life. And He has supernatural involvement when we need it. And don't worry. Don't care. Don't get all concerned anymore about what's out there. What's right here. Jesus' cure for worry. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Do your planning, do your thinking, do your consideration, but don't worry. Y'all see the difference in that? Don't worry. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for its truth. I pray that you'll please take the lessons tonight and do something in our hearts that only you can do that needs to be done. I get the idea from this passage, Jesus, that you don't want us to sit around and worry. And ruin our health and get distracted spiritually because of worry. So, Father, I pray that you'll give us your grace to plan, to consider, to prepare, and to be prudent financially, fiscally prudent, obeying the Word of God, and not full of worry. You're going to take care of us. We may get a little hungry. I don't know. But you'll care for us. Don't worry. Speak to our hearts tonight, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, Spirit of God spoke closely to my heart tonight. I needed to hear what was said, a reminder of this thing. Can I see your hand wherever you are tonight? God bless you. If you're not saved, the altar is always open for salvation. Some are here to be baptized. If you would please step out right now and head to your place, and we'll baptize you in just a moment, get you ready. Those folks are heading back there to help you with that tonight. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Invitation begins. Altar is open. You obey the Lord tonight and do as He bids you to do.